Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us again. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder-elect Clayton Evans.
And we're part of Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated. And we are glad that you're joining us tonight. And tonight we'll be talking about agreeing to disagree in love. But before we get started, we would like to have a prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase.
Amen. Spirit of the true and living God, we are once again so grateful and thankful to be able to be used in your service, Father God. Let the truth of your word come forth, Father God, as we search the scriptures, dear Heavenly Father, and learn how to continue to walk in love, Father God, and to walk by faith and not by sight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let me pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, again, we'd like to welcome you. We're glad that you chose to join us. Tonight, we're going to be coming out of Proverbs 13. We're coming out of the Message Bible. And we're going to do the 13th chapter, verse 2 and 3. 13:2 says, "The good acquire a taste for helpful conversation. Bullies push and shove their way through life." And 13:3 says, "Careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything." And what we're talking about tonight is agreeing to disagree in love. We'll be discussing how to deal with those situations and conversations that come up where you have a choice as to whether you will walk in agreement, to understand that it does not matter that the other person does not see things the same way you do. Amen?
Amen.
I've got this and definitely relate to it. And I was having a conversation with a dear friend, and we this was thrown in there, you know. And a lot of times people do say, "Can we just agree to disagree?" And yes, we can. We can agree to disagree. My standpoint is that if it's something that we already know we disagree about, I just don't see why we have to continuously keep bringing up the same topic to each other. I think that the enemy likes that kind of dissension between people, and anything that he can throw in there to make us be at odds with each other, because when we have those kind of disagreements, we're going to have some feelings about that.
Right.
And if we continue to discuss it, whether we want to call it agreeing to disagree or whatever it is, if we continue to discuss it, we're still perpetuating those feelings.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. And my take on that is that agreeing to disagree in love is coming to the standpoint where you understand, like the word says, it's time for everything. It's a time to stop talking about it.
Right.
Nothing's enough. But it's a time not to bring that up. Why would you continuously? I remember we used to talk about the perpetual argument. You remember I used to tell you the reason why we always ended up in the same place was because we never came to a solution.
Right.
We call ourselves agreeing to disagree when we just let it go. But by doing that, because we never did actually come to any
it
kind
comes
of.
Back up.
Yeah, it comes right back up.
Right. And it might be a little while,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it had a tendency to surface back up some kind of way and start all over again. It never was any resolved. It was very prevalent with us back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
To that never-ending, non-ending argument over something that we never really took the time to resolve or find a solution. Squash it.
Yes, yeah. And come to that point where there is an agreement, because agreement, to me, does not consist of too much of a compromise. You know, there's got to be some kind of harmony and unity agreement. if we think about making an agreement with each other, we got to understand what it is that we're agreeing to.
Right.
What is it that we're standing together on? Because if we still separated, because that's what the disagreement does, it separates us. If we still separated, there's no agreement. It's really like an oxymoron when you're saying, well, I agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Can you?
Because there's really no terms that really settle the issue at hand, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right about that.
And I would like to be able to have those kind of conversations in the that are helpful conversations. Like the word says, the good acquire a taste for helpful conversation. Is it really going to help me or help you for us to continue to talk about the same thing that neither one of us can agree with? Is that a helpful conversation?
Not really, especially when it's, you know, someone is trying to force their opinion on you or, you know, vile talk you or whatever the case may be, you know, not really helpful, then it's really not worth it, you know.
It's really not.
It's really not worth the conversation because nobody really benefits from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you know, why are we here? You know, what's the purpose in it, you know?
And why are we doing this to
each other, right.
And that's how the enemy operates in us. You know, he's going to come and bring that strife because that's all it is. That's what the disagreement is. He's going to bring that strife, and he needs us to help him.
Right.
So, yeah, we got to participate in it to make it work for him, you know, to be doing his will that he wants for us because he's about killing, crushing, destroying, dissension. He's about the disagreement, all this word.
Yeah. But, you know, my favorite saying is, you know, if you don't put no fire on it, it can't be, no wood on it, the fire can't burn.
It can't burn.
You know, the more you put on it, the more you feed it, you know, like you say, the more it'll grow. You know, but if you take the oxygen and the materials away to feed the fire, eventually it'll go out.
Exactly.
So.
And then it says, careful words make a careful life. Careful. Safe.
Take your time to think before you speak.
Think before you speak.
Choosing your words carefully, methodically, time and effort to choose your words that's going to be meaningful and uplifting and gratifying and, you know, exalting instead of just saying stuff just to be saying. Some people like to talk to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really going to really mean too much of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you go down to verse 5 there in Proverbs 13, it says that a good person hates false talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That bad person walls in
gibberish.
You know?
You're just saying that,
yeah.
Right?
you don't really want to. That's a drama queen thing right there. Somebody that just likes to, you know, carry gossip and got that bone in front of you, you know what I'm saying? And they just leave it. Once they done started something, now they gone, you know. And I don't like people to do that either because I've seen people that do that. They come and start a conversation that's kind of controversial and then they'll leave it there once they done get everybody all up in arms with each other about whatever it is.
And they gone.
And they gone.
Mm-hmm. So they did what they was assigned to do. Because we got to be real careful about these people that are assigned to us to bring that kind of turmoil in our lives, knowing the kind of company that we keep. We have to be real careful about the spirits that we entertain. Because everything that we entertain is not an angel.
Oh, that's right.
We have to be real careful. And I just, you know, I was thinking about you know, some of the hard times that we had, just learning how to communicate with each other, being able to talk with love, you know, and being using that word careful, you know, and when I think of that word careful, I was thinking about being safe, you know, keeping a safe haven in your home where everybody feels like it's okay to be here or it's okay to talk and it's okay to voice my opinion because I'm not going to be living with a bully. I'm not going to be living with somebody that don't understand. I'm not going to be living with somebody that I can't, I don't want to say disagree, but have a mind of my own. You know, we have as individuals, we think differently.
And at the same time, though, you know, you also got to respect one another's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's not going to be right all the time.
Exactly.
But having, I don't know why kindness is in my spirit right now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you just respect that person enough to allow them to say what it is that's on their mind, you know, might not agree with it, you know, it might even make you mad, you know what I'm saying? But at least it's out on the table. And if it's true, if it's a true, honest feeling that person have about whatever the situation is, you know, it's their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can respect their opinion. You don't have to agree with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, it might be one of the things that rub against your grain. You know what I'm saying? But at least you know how that person stands, how that person feels about whatever it is, the issue is with that hand.
Right.
So I guess that's really agreeing to disagree,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you allow that person that space.
Or it could be just learning who you with.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bible says, husband know your wife know your husband.
Right.
You know, if we get the opportunity to find out, okay, you're on the other side of the table with this.
Yeah.
I'm over here on this side of the table. It doesn't mean that's got to separate us because that's how you think and this is how I think. It just means now I know a little bit more about you.
And it may be opening up dialogue too for you to have another a different approach to whatever it is that, you know, you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it might be a topic where you have, it might be a moral issue that you have some strong opinions about,
mm-hmm.
or strong feelings about, you know what I'm saying? And the opposing view might be one that you don't. I can't agree with that.
Right.
You know, but at least you understand where each other stand on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to try to force it on that person. You know, where you know, it, especially when it comes to the household, where my house is gonna be this way. And that's it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? I put my foot down, you know, yada, yada, yada.
And that's that bully.
Know? And that's really the bully and the poor use of authority, you know. And fathers are guilty of that now that I think about it. We are guilty of that because certain things I remember in my house, you know, that's the way it was. You know, wasn't no compromise, wasn't no talk about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And those sometimes are things that cause some serious problems in the home too.
And it also develops and perpetuates in children. They grow up with that same mannerism, you know, because I believe that some of that you got. That's where it came from, you know, the curses of the father that's passed down, you know, through generations, and we have to.
Curses, but they were basically some things that, you know, was instilled, you know. I mean, a lot of houses, you ever seen that movie, See the House Rules, where they broke the rules and see the house on the wall, where it was kind of like the Heaven House Rules, you know, they were rules that of the house, you know. Because I think some boundaries do have to be made in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And certain things. And like you say, you might not agree with them, you know, but that's the house rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're going to be in the house, you got to abide by those rules. So if you have to adhere to those rules at a young age, and you grow up under those rules, they kind of become a part of you, you know, over the years. So as you develop into a young man, a young woman, or whatever, you know, and you got your household, those are kind of the guidelines that you got to go by, that, you know, that you try to instill because you feel like maybe, you know, well, they helped me, you know, to a certain degree.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even though I didn't like them,
mm-hmm.
you know, they helped me with a discipline and not to do this or not to do that, you know. But at the same time, you know, your spouse or your mate might not feel that same way about your rules, you know. And I think that's a good place to come for this particular topic, you
okay.
know, because I believe that with us, there were some things that I was, you know, brought up under that you didn't particularly care for, you know, for the raising of your son
yeah.
or our son.
Yeah.
So, you know, in which I understood, but at the same time, I saw the benefits from it from my point of view that you couldn't see it.
Because you didn't exhibit it.
Well,
it was really
once you're
scary
going
to
a man, you know, you kind of come into your own, so you kind of like cross pollinization. You know, you get a little bit of yours and a little bit of somebody else. So.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, it worked. You know, so I don't know. Maybe that wasn't a good example for her.
No, that is a good example because that's real life issues that we did have to deal with, and we have come to the other side of that, you know, because I did have to come back and tell you that, you know, I wish that I had been able, you know, to relinquish some of that control or whatever it was that I thought that I needed to have because of the fears that I had, because I'm looking at your behavior, your thinking, and for some reason, whatever was going on, you were so stern. You were so stern.
Because my father was a disciplinarian.
Right, and you remember I asked you, I said, could you just temper that with some love? Because you can't be all rules and regulations and no love. And that's where we started having that. I guess it'll be like a separation and a disagreement in that because I couldn't see what it was that you was trying to do the way that you was trying to do it because I didn't understand that. Because, see, I came up with some what I would call meanness. You know, my mommy didn't play. You know, my daddy was pretty lenient. But my mother, she set rules. She had rules in the house. And because it was so mean, I guess that I bucked against it because what it did for me was it triggered what I felt as a child when I would see it happening to my child. And a lot of times we have to look at issues.
So now that we are putting it out on the table, I can kind of see what the problem was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, you kind of saw that same thing in me that you saw in your mother.
Exactly.
You know, so that way that fear and concern came up and you didn't want the same for Bill.
Exactly.
I understand that now.
Mm-hmm.
But those are, like I said, you know, it.
But we was never able to discuss it.
We
really
because never identified
we was always, okay. I think that we was at that point where it was just a disagreement. It was just a disagreement.
Right.
We could never agree to even come to the table and talk about why. I think that that's what helps us in our relationship now.
I think my motivation
is walking in love,
you know,
is that we do want to know why do you feel the way you feel? Why are you doing what you're doing? We ask those questions now. And it has changed some
because
things.
Because, you know, my motivation was, you know, I was a young man once, so I know, you know, the mindset of a young man and what they go through, you know, so I'm kind of leaning on my own understanding.
Okay.
As to how to deal with him growing up, you know, showing him the way to go and not try to make some of the mistakes that I made. You know, maybe a little hard and critical in some areas, but, you know, I don't know, it was that trying to make sure that I had control over the situation, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want it to get out of hand. And but in some cases it did.
Well, you know, any time that we suggest control, we already out of control.
And I didn't know that at the time, because like I said, my father was kind of like, you know, he didn't play radio. He pretty much put his foot down and had his own neat way of dealing with us. He did not sing a whole lot either. He just, you know, that was his way of dealing with us.
Did you feel love?
Not really. Never heard the word "I love you" come out his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole time that, you know, we was in the house and the actions was really very, kind of bad for ourselves, the majority of our lives, we get put here and put there, and, you know, and when we finally did come back together, you know, to deal with him under his roof, you know, it was still kind of like, you know, he was there but wasn't. But we still try to love him in our own way, you know, because that was our dad, you know, at the same time. It really didn't reciprocate that, you know, back to us. So, I think that's what hurts a lot of us, you know, because we want a father's love so we can know how to learn how to give a father's love when we have children of our own, you know. So, when I had my daughter, it was difficult for me to show her love, you know, because I never really. At that, I think mothers instinctively have that too, because of the womb and skin, you know, that bond.
Some mothers.
But wow, that was kind of therapeutic for me,
yeah.
Like that, because I really never talked about that aspect of my life as far as my father. That's why, you know, God showed me with William, you know, that, you know, I put up with you, speaking of myself, you know, my own suffering. I you know, you've done some things. I feel this way. I still love you.
Yeah.
And that's what the turning point was for me, you know. That
love
and do all things. Yeah. Never fail. You know, sometimes you gotta put your stuff onto the side and look at the individual. He needs you right now.
Right.
You know, you need to be there for him right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you gotta be some, you need to ride for school, go pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the time it wasn't that loving, a little cheerful, you know, but I knew I had to do it. And I learned to accept that.
Yeah,
no.
You did. You got a lot better. Your attitude is a lot better. It still get there sometimes, but when it rises up, it seems like you know what to do with it now, because you are on a love walk. And I think that's what was missing. And because I really believe that this ministry has been in me all my life, I wanted to see that and know that before I was able to turn my son over to you. And even though it was really an issue, it was really an issue that I had also, it was still something that I desired to see. And I remember, you know, us having those conversations, and I just, if I could have, back then, if I could have trusted you to be that example by sight that I needed for him and his life, I think it would have been a lot different.
But
then again,
really
I think
that
if
time,
you couldn't be,
yeah,
you couldn't. And that's
just
what it is.
I had a heart of the mindset at the time,
mm-hmm.
because I was going off of my own, what do you call them? You've been using the term a lot lately. Old
Yeah, outdated skills,
outdated skills of trying to, you know. And a lot of times, you know, you could take some of the things that you learn. Some of them are just not applicable today.
Right.
Like, man, they just don't work. Mm-hmm. Like you say, they're outdated skills.
Yeah.
And they cause conflict, too.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
A lot, you know. Cause,
mm-hmm.
But I just thank God that, you know, I did hear my Heavenly Father speak to my heart. You know, there was a better way, a more loving and caring way to deal with things. And I preached a lot, you know, and hoping that word would help us at least bridge some things together, you know. I remember you telling me, you know, that I did preach to him a little bit too much, but
it was not too much. It was too long.
Too long.
You know, the attention span is not that long anyway. And then, you know, you hold a hostage in there. You know, it doesn't make it pleasing to them. You know, which is what they need as children.
I wanted to get that point across.
Yeah.
And I tempered it down, you know.
You're very different. As a matter of fact, when you was getting different, I was so surprised, you know, each and every time that, especially when I learned that you and him was talking, and he was telling you things that he wasn't telling me, which meant that I knew that his relationship with you had changed. He had started trusting you and wanting to be a part of your life and seeing some changes in you, too. And that was real warm to my heart, you know. And I'm just really grateful today that on this journey, we're learning how to pull our family together and keep our family together and stay in prayer for one another and pray those good things and speak those good things into each other's lives, you know. So that's very important, too, that we don't say negative things in our conversation to each other, like, you never going to do this or you always do that. You have to be careful, you know.
We had to get taught that, too, because there was some negativity that was spoken to our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of is passed down through generations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying? So, like you said, when you know better, when you learn better, you do better. And once you learn the spiritual way of how to see, being a parent ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what we speak over our children, over our spouse, over, you know, our house, period, you know, it has an effect, you know, on the lives of the people in that house.
Mm-hmm. And
know,
also the people in the world, because these are the same people that are going out there.
Yeah, they're going out there.
You
so
know, it's brand new.
These
are the seeds that are being sown.
What we say to one another, and it's, wow.
And how we say it.
It just ain't enough time for this stuff.
Really?
Wow.
Pray inside your heart.
Father God, we thank you that your spirit has allowed us to really touch a really important and a sensitive subject matter tonight, Father God. And we're just praying as if someone touched by what has been said, Father God, that the seeds that have been planted grow, Father God, so we can learn how to love one another in the way that you love us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name for a sake. Amen.
Amen. We thank you so much. And it has definitely been another very good ministry tonight, and
amen.
I appreciate you for sharing all that you share.
You had me going in therapy tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Amen. But again, we know that any situation, circumstance, anything that comes up in our life, no matter what it is or how it is or how long it is, the lesson is always love.
Amen.
Amen.